There you go. Nailed it.
Solid.
Is it good?
We did not raptor that up and choke.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jarvis with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to The Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. And this is episode 179, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show... we're talking about the coaches that got fired, and I'm going to go ahead and assume this is, in the media, this is going to be the latest possible playoff preview that you're going to hear. Joining me are three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Unbeatables? We're going to give you well-informed playoff predictions because we have data. So take that, Internet.
That's what makes our playoff predictions better. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Coulson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? I think what I like about our predictions is that, you know, you've got your fill of predictions, and then about halfway through the series, you're... you know, you're like, what were those predictions again? That's what we provide.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, boys? I'll stick with the theme here. What I like about our predictions is that we do have data, but it's a very small sample set. By the time we actually deliver it, completely blown up. So... feel free to laugh at us, fans. Yeah, it's the worst of both worlds.
So we generally record Sunday, and the first day, actually almost the second day, is already finished. So if we sound off, our predictions are terrible. It's because of that and that alone.
Because we don't know the answer.
Right.
It's not fair.
Well, the first half here, we want to talk about the coaches that have been fired. Three of them have moved already. Sam Mitchell from Minnesota. Randy Whitman from Jason's Washington Wizards. And George Karl from Boogie Cousins' Sacramento Kings. Harper, which one surprised you? Well, did any of these surprise you? I'm sorry.
I'm not sure any of them surprised me, but the guy that I didn't think... really deserved it was Sam Mitchell. I understand why it happened. I'm not even really sure that I disagree with it, but it's not fair to Sam. Sam had a pretty good year. He did a great job bringing along his guys. Loves Sam Mitchell generally, obviously, former Pacer, and just really an all-around good guy. That, you know, organization had a real tough start to the season, losing Flip. So, really tough. But those guys have come along fantastically over the course of the season. By the end of the year, they were beating the Golden States of the world. I mean, this team can really play. Zach LaVine looks great. The Big Cat looked great all year. But Andrew Wiggins is coming along nicely. I really thought he did a good job there. I understand that they're looking to make a leap, and so they want somebody who's got a little bit more experience, you know, building up to a deep playoff push. I get that. But Sam's given a lot of himself to that organization over the years, and I didn't think it was a real fair turn. I think they could have given him another year without sacrificing anything in terms of development on that team. So that's the one that stuck out to me is maybe I would have gone another way.
Agreed. And why don't you do it without having a name? backed up. But like, I mean, if you've got a tier one coach that is good better than Sam Mitchell, you know, maybe you make the move at that point. But at this point, they've just fired him and they don't have a coach, you know, set in line at this point. I know that they're looking at some good guys, but there's nobody lined up yet.
I mean, I think they're not going to have a problem recruiting a good coach with that core that they have.
Yeah.
They have a top 15 dude in the NBA that's 19 years old to build around.
It's amazing. It's a great team. And
I think Thibodeau is going to run there next week and be like, yes, let's do this.
Yes, please. Yeah. I think Tib definitely has the inside track on that job. Unless Steve Kerr gets fired, the Timberwolves are going to be the most sought after coaching position this offseason. So they'll have the pick of the litter.
Do you think Thibodeau is the right coach for that team?
I don't know if he's the right coach for a young team or not, or this young team, but I would certainly hire the guy. I mean,
yeah,
you got a lot of guys with a lot of legs. You know, he's going to run people into the ground. He does that, but this is a team full of really youthful guys. He teaches the right way to play basketball. Mm-hmm. If these guys are 10 years older, no, wouldn't hire them. Not a second. Not for anything. But this is I think Tibbs is the right guy at the right time with the right roster. So this is going to be a really dangerous team headed by Tom Thibodeau next year.
He's got a connection with Kevin Garnett, and that'll help him.
Who's apparently coming back? So
yeah. Why not? If you got Tibbs,
yeah, I would. If I were Tibbs and I took that job, I'd keep him on as a. Right. An assistant,
this is a coach,
player coach, or whatever.
Yeah. That's just it. Now he knows that he's got an inside track to being a coach on that team now, too, with, you know.
Yeah. And I think Tibbs wants to go to a position where he has player movement control as well. Minnesota seems to be open to that type of model. So, I think it's a good fit. And I mean, it sucks for Smitch. I mean, I agree with you. I like Smitch. I think he does a decent job. But I think in the NBA, opportunities are limited. So you kind of have to strike when the iron is hot. So while the team is still developing and taking another year to figure it out with Smitch, maybe won't hurt you. But you kind of, if you have a chance to go get a really, really good coach and you have this excellent collection of players, you kind of have to take advantage of it, like, as quickly as you can, right?
No, you're right. And not only that, but you can't waste years in the NBA, right? Exactly. Even when a kid is 19, you can't waste a season. You got to get out there now and get it done.
So I was thinking about this today. Like, so we're really excited to have Miles Turner in the playoffs, right? Because that's a whole nother level of basketball, right? You want Karl Anthony Towns in the playoffs as quickly as possible if you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan or part of that organization. So throwing away a year is not ideal by any means. And that's despite the fact that the Western Conference was down a little bit this year, it's still a very, very tough conference. So it's no guarantee that Minnesota makes the playoffs next year.
No, it's not. And I do think that Mitchell could have gotten into the playoffs next year, but I don't think there's any real argument that Tibbs is a more established and really a better NBA coach at this point. He's had the experience. He's been there. He's done that. So you're right. You got to strike while the iron's hot, and that's why this is a defensible decision. You know, if they do end up picking up Scottie Brooks, I'm going to be fire pissed, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't worry. Scottie Brooks is going to end up living in my neighborhood and coaching the Washington Wizards.
That's going down.
Oh yeah, that seems to be the. Group think here is that you bring in Scottie Brooks and maybe that gives you the best chance at luring Kevin Durant.
That is some poor logic.
Are they not going after Tibbs full bore? I mean, like,
oh, of course they're going after Tibbs full bore, right. But if you're Tibbs, why would you go work for this organization that has not proven itself to be excellent when you could go build in Minnesota?
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
He might not like the cold. I don't know.
Could be. I mean, in Washington, you know, you have a super duper star in John Wall. But after that, there's not a ton, right? Like, Bradley Beal's an excellent basketball player.
Yeah.
But he's on the floor 50 games a season, right. You know, which is hard to build around. And then outside of that, there's really not much else. Kelly Oubre, can I interest you in some Kelly Oubre and Marcin Gortat?
The Polish Hammer.
I'm good, thank you.
You're gonna pass on the Kelly Oubre.
No, I've already eaten. Thank you. I do like the Polish Hammer though. I love Gortat. I don't know what to build around him though.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to build around him, you better be playing in the Italian second league.
No.
With Ron Anderson.
Yeah, exactly.
Marcin Gortat's going. What did I do? All I do is play hard.
Yeah. I think an interesting potential move for the Wizards would be to hire Calipari away from Kentucky.
That's a tough.
And then try to somehow convince Boogie Cousins to come play for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like scrap the Kevin Durant plan and go that route. Like build Kentucky of the pros, basically.
Sure. I think that Calipari may be tough to get out of the college ranks.
Sure.
I think that would be a really interesting experiment. I'd be really curious to see how that plays out. My pick for this team, though, is Mark Jackson. I think that John Wall would love having a point guard coach. I don't know how he fits in with those players. Mark's one of those guys that, you know, he's pretty outspoken about, you know, some of his lifestyle choices, and he wants his team to be a part of that as far, you know, he's a very religious guy, and I don't know how well that plays in Washington. I think you'd have to get the guy in the room to really find out the answer to that. But I think he would be a great coach. And I think that he could help them build something there. That'd be my
He would guy. Certainly get them playing the right way, night in and night out. You know,
and that's, I think. He's a and great setup guy. Ask Golden State.
Yeah, exactly. He was a huge part of culture building in Indianapolis and in Golden State. He can make a change on your team culturally pretty quickly.
I believe that.
In more ways than one. Yes. And then the last shit show I guess we should talk about is the Sacramento Kings, who are now going to be hiring their 9th coach in 9 years.
Jesus.
This seems to me like I don't know how they recruit anybody. I know there's only 30 jobs in the NBA. But that franchise is just such a wreck. It's like worse than the Sixers, almost. Like,
oh, the Sixers had a plan.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, the Sixers actually they had continuity. Now they have. I mean, you talk about the Colangelos. I got a lot of experience doing good things in this league. Like,
sure.
That is a much more sought after job, I would think, as a coach than Sacramento. Which it's tough to point to a single good move that they've made in the past 2 years. Like, it is a mess.
Well, and also your boss is just totally unpredictable. You have no idea but what the owner is going to call down and ask you to do from day to day. Like, yeah, no, let's not play let's only play 4 guys on defense. Let's just leave one guy to cherry pick the whole time. Like,
right?
What? I don't understand. So
yeah, they're going to have a tough time drawing talent. Anybody got a prediction?
I mean, so they've doubled down on Vlade Divac, right? So maybe he's going to have some Eastern Bloc guy that we've never heard of.
He's going to bring in some Lithuanian dude.
No, it's going to be David Blatt, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's the one. David Blatt's the obvious choice.
Well, that's good because that's the same impression. It's my David Blatt and Vlade Divac are the same impression.
David, this is Vlade. I'd like you to come work for me. Thanks, Vlade. Sounds great.
That's a very, very direct conversation to the point.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know. So who are the top candidates? I guess Blatt is one of the top candidates.
I don't think Blatt's at the top of anybody's list as a head coach. But they may get stuck with that guy.
Yeah. Brooks is the other name.
Yeah, right? They're going to be after Brooks. They're going to be after Jackson. Tibbs. They're going to be after Jackson. They're going to be after Hornacek when those things fail.
Oh, that's right. Hornacek is out there.
After that.
What about Nate on our staff? Little Nate McMillan?
Well, they're going to be after Nate, but I don't think Nate wants that job. Does Patrick Ewing want that job with a troubled big? Because Patrick Ewing is ready for a shot.
Yeah, he's been wanting
a shot for a while, too.
He's been, but he's trying to like be in Phil Jackson's ear, and that's not working out. So,
Interesting.
I mean, that's the other. There is a coaching vacancy, sort of, in New York, right? I mean,
yeah.
Kurt Rambis is just an interim, so there's a chance there. But yeah, I like that. I like Patrick Ewing. If he gets snubbed by the Knicks, goes to Sacramento. That's pretty good.
I mean, I'm not sure that he wants that job, but I mean, that's
nobody.
The thing.
Nobody wants that job. I mean, eventually somebody's going to be like, "Okay, you're going to pay me $1 million to do this. I'll do it." But that's not somebody that has clout that could go get a better job.
I mean, the other option is that's another Calipari potential destination, right? Because he has he has a good relationship with Boogie.
Sure.
Yeah, but he makes so much more money.
But he won't have any
superstar in college,
right? And he won't have personnel control.
Right, that's true.
I would stay far away from this dumpster fire, as you know. Now, if they want to offer me the job, I will do it.
I was going to say Vivek called you tomorrow.
I will happily take care of that. Actually, let this be my resume.
I've been listening to your impressions of David Blatt, and I think you would really make a good voice in the locker room.
Let the last 178 episodes be my resume. Go ahead and call me up. I'm ready to coach. I'm ready to go.
Shout out SB Nation. They have a really interesting dark horse on this one. Becky Hammond.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Because well, it's a great dark horse, right? Because nobody wants that job. But unfortunately, being a female coach in this league, you're not going to get a lot of cracks at this.
True.
And if somebody comes to Becky Hammond and offers them a job in this organization, I mean, you almost have to say yes. I mean, she's very happy where she is. Luke Walton is going to be sought after. He's not going to take that job, right?
No.
Becky Hammond should probably be very happy and probably wants to learn a little more from Pop before she departs. But if somebody gives her a crack at it, oh boy, that's hard to turn down.
It definitely is. The thing is that you want to position yourself to have success,
right?
I mean,
that organization is all types of set up for failure.
That's right.
And especially, you know, as a female, the first female coach, I think it's critical that you're successful, right?
Like, so many eyes are going to be on her.
But that's great. I mean, it's an excellent sign that at least she's on the short list of some teams, right? Or, like, beginning to be considered for these types of positions.
Yeah. I hope so. It'll happen. The reality is that it'll happen. But probably that first female coach is going to end up someplace that I'm sorry. It's just the reality that no one really wanted that bad. That's just the way these things happen. And there's going to be a double standard until somebody takes a Polish hammer to that glass ceiling. Maybe she'll take the Wizards job.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, she's awfully smart.
Yeah. And she'd probably succeed despite the scenario, you know? There was one other coaching move. The Nets hired a guy who I've never heard of before. Simon Atkinson, who I thought was... is that his name?
Kenny.
Who I thought was Mr. Bean.
Kenny Atkinson? It was
Kenny Atkinson. Okay, sorry. Who is a Rockets assistant. Hawks? Is currently a Rockets assistant. Is he still coaching for the Rockets?
How many drinks have you had?
He was a Hawks assistant?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's off the butt tree.
Damn it.
But they're still playing in the playoffs.
Still playing. Is he still coaching for the Hawks?
Yeah.
That seems weird.
It's a conflict. I didn't know you could
do that. Isn't that tampering?
What's he going to do? Leak secrets to his new team? He still knows all that stuff. <don't know. laughs> They're not playing in the playoffs. It's okay.
It's confusing. We mentioned a bunch of very big names that are out there who have shown that they can succeed in this league. Or even a guy like Patrick Ewing, right? Who seems really ready to make the leap. How do the Nets land on Kenny Atkinson?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's Mr. Bean.
Apparently this guy's really ready, I guess. But
so Prokhorov called him up. He says, "Hello, is this Mr. Bean? I'd like you to coach my team."
These conversations are getting shorter. Yep.
Hey, we just get stuff done. It's the off season for bad teams. It's not the off season for good teams.
And really good luck to that guy. I mean, besides the Sacramento job.
He's going to need it.
Oh, that is a really tall order.
I think for some of these guys, though, you just got to, you know, you got to take what's offered. You know, there's 30 total jobs, you know, in the world for what you want to do. And if it's, you know, I get it. Like, you might want to hold off until next year. Someone like Thibodeau has that. You know, has that luxury where they can turn down teams because they know that they can just wait another year and everyone's going to come at them.
Kenny was like, "I need to lock this down or I'm going to get stuck in Sacramento." So I guess good on you, Kenny. Well played, sir.
Truth.
Well, I think it's about time for a break. This week, we got sort of a double shot out here. First, the song we're going to do is Pope Adrian Blessed. This song's called 89 Jordan, about Michael Jordan, of course. It's pretty nice. But I heard it actually on something you may or may not be familiar with, Bringing Down the Band, the local website, does also reviews and all that sort of stuff. We've been listening to them, friends with those guys. They're great. They've been doing this series called Turn Off Your Radio. And what they do is they basically put together like a super long playlist of really good music on SoundCloud, and then you just hit play, and then good music comes out for like a really long time. So it's pretty great. And they're on volume 64 right now. So if you are complaining about not having good music, you're wrong. And that's get on the internet and click play, and you'll be happy. So shout out this one, Pope Adrian Bless from Naptown. Check it out.
Shout out.
Shout out. Shout out. 87,
87 for the killing niggas for the game with the score. Oh! Shout it, what you think? Smoking dank. I had roaches in the couch, ramen noodles on the sink. Things was sitting off the glass. Frequency determined weight. We was winning off the glass. Michael Jordan 98. Michael Jordan 98. Driven like I'm 89 Jordan. Whoa. Driven like I'm 89 Jordan. Whoa. Pyrex pot on game 5. My right hand looking like Jordan's. I heard y'all gon' take mine, but I got that shot like Jordan. I heard you play AI. If you cross me, then that's gang mode. I'm too depressed, I can't stay sober. Got a war inside me, can't lay, yo. Microchips in each hieroglyph. I'm not here to talk about accomplishments. I won back to back, I got rings for it. No call log, let a ring go. Hotline bling for the cold word. And we'll drape the black and let's sing going. I heard you were talking about me to your mans. I truly know nothing about it. I probably declined you for features and shows. Your money too low, I ain't about it. I heard there was beef in my city with rabbits, but I do not get it, you're low. You were killed for a week or two tops, get retweeted for hours, then that shit is old. There was rumors that niggas still waiting for me to fall off the absurdity. Even Helen Keller heard of my murders. Pristine assassination, failure, and burglary. Millie rocking out the Dallas Center, hitting switches, simply putting niggas at the game. No more jewelry, but I'm back for the ring. East side, nigga, peace.
Shawty, what you think? Smoking dank. I had roaches in the couch, ramen noodles on the sink. Things was sitting off the glass. Frequency determined weight. We was winning off the glass. Michael Jordan 98. Michael Jordan 98. Driven like I'm 89 Jordan. Driven like I'm 89 Jordan. Pyrex pot on game 5. My right hand looking like Jordan. I heard y'all gonna take mine, but I got that shot like Jordan. And I heard you play.
We're back from the break. Thanks to Pope Adrian Bless. Like I said, we'll have a link in the show notes, but check out the Turn Off Your Radio. There's one coming out all the time, and it's always good stuff, and just lots of it. Second half, we want to talk about the playoff preview is a strong word, but preview / review prediction. We want to start the Western Conference, start at the top. Golden State Warriors taking on the Houston Rockets. What do you guys got? Colson, let's start with you.
Rocket sweep.
Yeah, no, it's no, not rocket sweep. Yeah, rockets are my...
almost.
Are potentially my least favorite team in the entire league. If not, they're in the top 25 of my least favorite teams, because everything I do is top 25. But I hate those guys. Golden State's way better. Golden State wins this in a sweep.
I'm right there with you, Colson. I don't know. I can't envision how the Rockets win a game in this series.
I mean, what?
The only possibility is that Steph Curry kind of tweaked his ankle in the last game of the regular season, and then again in game one. So we should say we're recording this on Sunday, and the Rockets are already down 1-0 in this series, which Golden State won that first game super handily. Mm-hmm. So
what's the best case scenario? Harden scores 50? I mean, it's still not enough to beat this team. I'm sorry. Right. It's just, this is over.
So, I mean, if you're a coach game planning, if you're the Rockets coach game planning against this team, what you're saying to yourself is, I need Dwight Howard to score 40.
Yes.
Right?
That's what. Because
he should be able to overmatch anybody that is playing in the post. But that depends on so many things happening. And before this series, there was a part of me that was like, you know what? Maybe the Rockets, you know, maybe James Harden goes off. Maybe Dwight Howard has a great game and they can steal one, maybe even two. And then I watched game one and I was like, wow, I forgot how emotionally fragile these guys are.
Yeah, they don't, that's the thing, is that they don't even care to be there.
They don't like each other. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure they like the game of basketball, really. I mean, Harden does, but I'm not sure the rest of them do.
Harden played great defense in game one, which, you know, would have been a great start, but it didn't actually stop anybody.
Patrick Beverley tried to be an enforcer and, like, get in Steph Curry's face. And
yeah, it didn't work out. Draymond Green laid him out 3 seconds later.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
I mean, unless Monte Yunus pulls Kelly Olynyk, is that what we decided? Who did that to Kevin Love last year?
Yeah, the old Kelly Olynyk.
Pulls Draymond Green's arm out of his socket. I don't see the Rockets winning anything.
Joey, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I think it's going to be a sweep.
Yeah.
Houston can get crazy streaky like we saw last year. But, if Dwight Howard's not killing it, they've got no chance. James Harden can't do it by himself.
Well, they don't pass Howard the ball, so it doesn't matter. He has 10 shot attempts a game. That's it. He's not going to be able to score 40 doing that.
Yeah, and now that he can't use stick-em, he can't even catch the inbound pass or the post pass anymore. I was tempted to give these guys a game. I can't do it. They're too broken.
Yeah.
And the Dubs, they know that they just played a really long regular season and that they could really use this rest. They're extremely motivated to get out of this quick. Dubs will sweep them.
So that's a sweep by everybody?
Yeah.
It's a sweep on the sweep.
All right.
Undebeatable consensus.
Yeah. Second matchup, San Antonio Spurs take on the Memphis Grizzlies. 2-7 matchup. I think the Spurs are the highest, or they're the team with the most wins that have ever been the second seed before. So congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
I'm going to take the San Antonio Spurs, shockingly.
In seven?
not in seven.
No,
Lance Stevenson's going to steal at least two games.
Yep. For the Grizz. And he will not give them back. I'll give Memphis a game here because I think I think the Spurs.
I had already pinned you in for a Spurs sweep.
Oh, not for lack of
scribbling out my pen.
Not for lack of talent or trying, but they're slow playing this too. So I think they're going to rest some guys into the playoffs a little bit. Not
you think Bob's No.
That
might be the ballsiest move I've ever seen.
He might do it.
That's pretty good call. He might actually do it.
I don't think he's going to not start somebody, but
he's
I think they'll go lighter, Marcus, we just need
a couple extra days rest for you.
I think they'll go lighter on the minutes for some of the players.
Timmy, Tony, Manu, you're good. Just rest this whole first round. It'll be fine.
All right, Boban. Get away with 40 it. Minutes tonight, baby. Go get it.
Maybe a little lighter on the minutes.
I'll tell you why they're going to be lighter on the minutes, because they're going to be up by 20 in every game.
Well,
the Spurs are going to sweep the hell out of this Memphis team.
They're not going to be up 20, but 10 for them is 20 for any other team.
Yeah,
that's true.
Joe, here's my deal. I know that Memphis upset San Antonio at one point, like 3 or 4 years ago. I know that they used to be a tough matchup for San Antonio. San Antonio is better and is better than they were when they got upset. And also, Memphis is completely broken. They're completely injured. They limped into the playoffs. This thing is over in four. This is probably, in my mind, a bigger mismatch than Golden State-Houston. I think this is a sweep.
Well, Joey is right that Pop is very interested in getting guys rest. But the quickest way to do that is just sweep this thing.
Just end the series, yeah.
And, yeah, that's the thing. Memphis, if they were healthy, yeah, they'd get a game. Maybe two. Mm-hmm.
But they're a good team when they're healthy.
They rostered up well. If this was their team, if we were seeing their team, yes. But we're not. This team shirted up, what, 28 dudes this season or something?
Yep.
Like, they're just, yeah, they're a mess.
So just to update, the Spurs just, game one just finished, and they won 106-74 in game one.
Jeez, they put up 106 points?
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
I like that Joey is the biggest Spurs lover.
he's tempering expectations so he's not disappointed.
I like it. I like it.
I do the same thing. I get it, Joey.
You're going to be shocked when they win it in three.
It's going to blow your mind.
When Memphis just concedes game four and just says, you know what? I'm good.
It's the mercy roll. After they lose the first three games by a combined 120 points.
Yep. Is that everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, sweep, yeah.
Okay. We've got third matchup, Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know. This one, I'm picking Oklahoma City for sure. I think I think Dallas is kind of banged up too. Chandler Parsons is done for the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this one goes. I think this is going to be a sweep.
Ooh,
Interesting.
And I think the Durant and Westbrook, they're going to come out. They have not been. They didn't make the playoffs at all last year, because of Durant's injury. And I think they're going to come back and they're going to burn through round one here.
Dallas is another really injury riddled team. If they had a full complement of players, I think this thing maybe goes seven. I have that much faith in Rick Carlisle as a coach come playoff time.
Mm.
But he is just way outgunned. I mean, it doesn't matter how well you coach. When you have to go against a healthy Westbrook, a healthy Durant, and a healthy Serge Ibaka with a 38-year-old superstar and nothing, and J.J. Barea, I'll give the guy a game because I love him. But it's just OKC is way, way too much for this Dallas team.
Mm-hmm.
But I will give him a game. And I don't know how that's going to happen.
No, I feel the same way.
He's going to make him play on skates. That will be his coaching.
I think Carlisle's a genius. I think he's one of the top coaches in the league, and I think he's one of the guys that matters. He's outgunned here, and there's not much. The fact that they got this far, I mean, the fact that they made the playoffs with this team, honestly. It's Dirk Nowitzki, who's way past his prime, and a bunch of cast-offs. And, I'll give him a game. I want to give him two, but OKC is too hungry, so I'll go in five.
Yeah, this game, or this series is, at least the coaches, it's one guy is playing checkers and the other guy is playing chess. And so that's going to get you one game. The problem is the guy that's playing checkers, it's like turbocharged checkers with like bazookas. So
right. So it's actually checkers against chess.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what's happening?
And in this case, checkers is going to win because, yeah, like I said, it's just turbocharged. But yeah, there's definitely one of these games is going to be close, and Rick Carlisle is just going to outcoach Billy Donovan in one of these games that's close in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
And he's a master of making adjustments, you know. So they lost game one, 108-70. I mean, that's a massacre.
Yep.
But he's going to make some adjustment, and
I mean, the problem is
to make it close and then steal a game.
The problem is when you don't have the personnel. I mean, how much can you change? I mean, it's just it's so difficult to, you know, change the matchups and give people different looks when you just don't have New Jerseys to throw out there.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Carlisle. It's been a really tough year for the Mavs.
But at least he didn't work for New Jersey, you know what I'm saying?
Amen to that, brother. So, five for everybody except Joey calling the sweep, which is probably the right move given the tone of the conversation we just had.
I respect Carlisle too much.
Exactly. That's an absolute Carlisle shout-out given one game.
Yeah, this is a Pacer fan bias right now.
Yep, for sure.
Last matchup, the hated LA Clippers taking on the beloved by some Portland Trailblazers 4-5 matchup. This one's tough. The Blazers, amazing season, considering that LaMarcus Aldridge left them, left Damian Lillard out in the cold, slammed the door in his face, walked away.
It's all right. He brought a heater.
The LA Clippers and their new logo and their new mascot back in the playoffs this year. A little lower than I thought they maybe would do this year, but there we are, 4-5. I don't know. This one's tough. I think this one is going to go 6. I think the Blazers are going to make it tricky, but I think the Clippers, unfortunately, are going to take this one from Rip City.
I think that the Clippers are going to be cannibalized by their own mascot, so they're going to be a DQ in Game 7.
Wow.
No, this is potentially one of those passing the torch moments. Dame Lillard has an absolutely monster year, and if you don't think he's looking forward to matching up against Chris Paul this series, you're out of your mind. Blake Griffin is going to be a ton of trouble, but Terry Stotts is a great coach. He's going to do his best to try and make that guy a jump shooter. And for some reason, CJ McCollum and JJ Redick will be an interesting matchup to watch because it may decide the series. Who knows? I got my Blazers in 6. I think this Clippers team.
In 6?
Wow. Yep.
All right.
Well, it's either that or they went on the road in LA.
In a game 7, yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah. Damian Lillard is ready for the bright lights. This is a team that really plays well together. Playing a team that it remains to be seen whether they like each other enough to stay on the court for 48 minutes together. So, I got Terry Stotts in this one.
Interesting. I like this series from a sort of stylistic point of view.
It's gonna be interesting.
I like the Blazers a lot, and I like it this series going 7, but I don't know if they can win in game 7 in LA. That's where I get stuck.
I'm with you.
So I'm gonna take the Clippers in 7, but I think it's gonna be a fun series. I really think Dame is, you know, he really likes the stage. He likes the bright lights. And he still wants to make a name for himself, you know? He wants to be an all-star.
I really do think this may be the most fun series to watch. Unless you're like me and Colson, where you love watching the Dubs just absolutely bury the Rockets.
Sure.
In terms of the series that would be competitive, I think that this may be the one that is really worth watching.
So my worry for this series is that it turns into a Hacka DeAndre Jordan series, because Stotts is a smart coach, and that's a smart play, is to hack DeAndre Jordan. So I could see that happening a lot, which makes for boring basketball. But
not if my team wins.
True. But for a dude that's on the East Coast and is trying to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning watching DeAndre Jordan shoot free throws is not fun.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, that's where you and I differ, my friend.
So I agree with Jason. I completely believe that Portland is young and exciting and probably the better team and probably should win this. I want to root for these guys. They're fun.
Wait, what?
What are you drinking this week?
But here's the deal. I think it's the experience in the end in a game 7 in L.A. with Chris Paul pulling it out. I think this goes 7. I think, I'm sad about it.
Let me ask you another question, which you may or may not answer. But so show me Chris Paul's playoff successes.
No, agreed.
He's pretty decent in the first round.
That's
true. First round. Uh-huh.
But I mean, I think Dame's going to win some games. I think he'll win a game winner. You know, I think we'll get. I don't know. I like the young kids. I think they're gonna push the Clippers to the max. And the experience down the stretch. That stuff matters in the playoffs. And
however much you hate the Rockets, I hate the Clippers.
I hate the Clippers a lot.
Sometimes the good guys do win. And the Trailblazers are absolutely the good guys.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm not mad at your prediction. I'm actually rooting for you. I'm just trying to do, you know,
I'm going to text CJ that you're a doubter. I'm going to text Dane that you're a doubter.
All right. I'm changing it right now. Portland in 7.
Wow.
I like it.
You just get bullied into that.
I did. But the thing is, I do want to root for – I want to root for Portland.
I don't want to root for the Clippers. You don't have to root for them.
They're terrible people. All of them are just bad people. That's what I've decided.
All right, I got a dude on my side. Who's next? Who wants to flip?
The difficulty for the Trailblazers in this is that it's a playoff series. So it's going to be played at a much slower pace than they want to be playing at.
Yeah.
Clippers are better in that kind of basketball, yeah. I think.
I agreed.
And that's the difficulty.
I just don't think that the Clippers have anybody who can stay in front of that Blazers backcourt, even in the half court.
Yeah, I don't know, but they're going to let Chris Paul do dirty Chris Paul things. Yeah.
Damian Lillard is
hand check him in 4 of the 7 games. You know,
no, you're like right, but Dame, look, he's a mentally strong kid who plays really good defense. Sure. And yeah, the calls aren't going to go his way. I will grant you that. That's a fact. But I think that if he can take if he can muddy up that one matchup, Mason Plumlee does. He's athletic enough to do a decent job on Blake Griffin, and CJ is going to eat up JJ Redick.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see what version of Blake Griffin shows up in this game, and it might actually benefit the Clippers in the long run for this series to go longer, because basically that gets Blake Griffin more reps.
Yeah, no,
you know,
it's a good point.
Because last year he was one of the best players in the playoffs.
Yeah,
sure. So, it's going to be a great series. I'm really looking forward to that one. So,
and just so we have all the data, if this adjusts your position, Colson, there's 6 minutes left in the first quarter of Game 1, and it's 12-12. I don't know if that changes anything.
Well, I'm going with Portland in 4.
Let's move on to the Eastern Conference here. Let's go middle to outside now. 4-5, Atlanta, Boston. The whole middle was just a big jumbled mess. But the way it lands, Hawks are taking on the Celtics. I'll go first, so I will not be accused of waffling. I think Atlanta's going to take this one in. Man, I want to say 7. I think Boston is going to definitely make life hard for them. But I think at the end of the day, this is largely similar or largely the same team that the Hawks team that won 60 games last year. Kyle Korver's not having as great a year. They lost DeMar DeRozan, but – or not DeMar DeRozan, Damari Carroll. They were good last year. They were very good last year. And I think it's a lot of the same team, same coach. And Boston doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience. So I think the Hawks are going to take it.
They were there last year. So it should be said that all of these teams, so 3 through 6 in the Eastern Conference, all ended with the same exact same record. So these are essentially evenly matched teams, if you believe that the regular season actually shakes out who's good and who's not. And Atlanta won Game 1 in Atlanta. They were up big, but the Celtics rallied and made it interesting down the stretch. I have this feeling that Boston's kind of a team of destiny this year. I feel like Brad Stevens has that team playing so confidently, and they fight so hard every game. It's hard for me to pick against them, and I feel like Atlanta is a really good team, but I don't know what their soul is. Who is their? Who's the leader of that team? Is it Al Horford? And is that a guy that can carry you to a playoff victory?
Coach Budenholzer.
It's the coach, okay. I'm going to go Boston. I like Boston in 7. I like Boston to win on the road in Game 7.
I like it.
Bringing it.
I just trust in Brad Stevens.
I think you also just want to hear more Evan Turner quotes.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes, I do. I want that. You can't put us a sweep. We're going to win a foul.
Boy, I cannot shake myself free from looking at the roster of the Boston Celtics.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Every time I look at their team, I can't help but question how they won this many games. And look, I watched them play the end of the season. I watched them win against the Dubs. I watched Game 1. They lost by a point. And Brad Stevens is a genius. I mean, when there's an out-of-bounds play, they will have an open look. When there is a chance to run something set, they will have an open look. The problem with Boston is that they're just not built for the playoffs.
Sure.
They can't shoot the three for shit. They don't...
They can't defend the rim either.
They can't defend the rim particularly. They're a mid-range team. And as great as he is at getting those open looks, he doesn't have the horses to knock them down. I got Atlanta in 5. Bud is a really good coach, and he has the horses.
I have the same call. I can't get over the rosters. I love Boston, and I want to. I know they play hard, but I think this thing's over pretty quickly. I think it's Atlanta in 5.
And part of this may be a homer thing for Brad Stevens too, right? Because honestly, if he forces anything past a Game 5, then I get to be happy that Brad Stevens succeeded, you know. Sure. But I don't see how that roster beats this Atlanta, this experienced Atlanta team that does so many things well. And you don't know where it's coming from. That's the thing. Atlanta is like the exact opposite of OKC. You just don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, if it gets quiet, that jag bag Mike Scott starts knocking down threes, you know.
Seriously, he'll do that.
I'm just – actually, the only reason I don't like him was when the Pacers played the Hawks two or three years ago. He got hot and was putting on a little gun show after he was making his threes, which I thought was disrespectful in our house.
And you'll never forget it.
I will not. And I was upset with the Pacers for not letting him know that was disrespectful. They just let him keep doing it.
Yeah, we lacked an enforcer at that moment.
Next one, number 3 seeded Miami Heat taking on number 6 Charlotte Hornets. These other two teams had the exact same record as the 4-5. As the tiebreakers and whatnot landed on everyone where they are. Charlotte's played well, really well, towards the end of the season here. And they're actually knocking down threes now. It's going to be hard, I think, still at this time to beat the Miami Heat in the playoffs. Dwayne Wade does whatever Dwayne Wade thinks. They rest him, you know, so much so he can play now. And I think this one's going to be, I'm going to say Heat in five. I think they're. Yeah, I like Charlotte. I'm rooting for Charlotte, but I think Miami's going to end this one relatively quickly.
Joe, I agree with you that Miami's got playoff experience. I think I like Charlotte a little bit more than you. I want to root for them. I want them to win because I hate Miami. But I think it comes down to the experience, and Miami wins it in seven with the home court.
So okay. The weird tiebreaker gives them the advantage. So it should be said, Miami won game one by 32 points. If that matters at all.
I picked my picks and before the blowout.
No, you did. Okay. So. Kudos to you.
Seems like not a smart move.
You have way more time. Miami in three. That's never mind.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think Charlotte will adjust. I didn't even see this game, so I don't know what the story was. But Charlotte's a good team. They're playing good basketball. But in Miami, I think I'm trusting in the system here and in the organization. You know, they've been there a lot over the last decade. And they have a Hall of Famer on their team in Dwayne Wade, who shines in the playoffs. And so I like them. I think they'll wrap this up in six.
All right. Well, somebody's got to do it. Charlotte, one of the best defensive teams in the league this year, especially after the All-Star break. I don't have that much faith in them. I mean, what does Miami really have? I mean, yes, they have Dwayne Wade. But What do they got? Luol Deng. They got a rookie in Justice Winslow. Bostrich is out.
Dragic.
They got Dragic.
Dragic.
But guess what? Charlotte's got Kemba Walker and Al Jefferson. And I'm not saying that Charlotte should win this series, but when you really sit down and look at these matchups on paper, you're tempted to say that they should win this series. I think that they're going to do just fine. I think that it's going to go seven, and Miami should win a game seven because they've been there and done that. But I'm taking Charlotte. I'm taking Charlotte in that game seven. The team that wins game one wins about 77% of these things. I shouldn't pick them, but I really do think that they're a better team, and I think their coaching is fine. I think Spoelstra's overrated to begin with.
I feel like I agree with all those points. I just trust in that experience that those individual players know how to prepare for the game, for games, basically, and how to be mentally
so important ready, in the playoffs,
which is huge in the playoffs. Right.
But outside of Wade, who else is there? That was a carryover from those teams. Birdman's gone. Bosh ain't there. Right. I mean, it's Dwayne Wade. That's it. And Spoelstra.
Yeah, but I mean, he sets a hell of an example, right?
No question.
To get dudes ready.
You make a good point, though. There's not. This is not the Miami team that we knew. And I'm sorry, giving them some of the credit of being that. But you're right. There's not a lot of guys that are left. I mean, Whiteside is, you know. I mean, who do they have?
Boy, that boy can play, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ding's seen some wars. He's been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he'll be lucky to get through two games at this playoffs, the way that his body stands up.
All right. All right, you're a crazy person, but we'll give you Charlotte in seven.
I like it. I mean, I like that prediction. I feel like, yeah. Sure.
No, don't like it. He's crazy.
Especially if they can hit shots. If they can shoot the three-point shot.
But they can't.
Efficiently in this series, they did all year.
Yeah, they
why
did.
Would they? Why do they all of a sudden stop now?
Look. The thing is, I love.
They just got to get their confidence. I think they got smacked in the face in the first game.
There was a comment earlier in the on an earlier podcast that I love Charlotte so much because they're doing exactly what I want the Pacers to be doing. Right, they're playing defense and they have a better offense. Like I really respect what they're doing. I think it's great.
You just don't think that that brand of basketball that you're telling us that we should play wins?
No, I think it wins. I think experience matters more.
So you're taking the Blazers is what you're saying?
No. I feel like there's a little bit more experience in Miami, and that's why they were going to beat Charlotte in game seven. It's not like I picked them in five. Like I love Charlotte.
You're not doing something.
Oh, they have Joe Johnson. Yeah. That's the dude that they have.
Yeah, they got Joe Johnson. That dude hits shots all day long. That's what he does. Big shot.
Look, you're not outside of the box. Miami is favored here. I'm outside of the box, so you don't need to defend yourself.
All right, apparently,
yeah, I forgot they have Joe Johnson. Yeah. They're definitely one of
those. Screw
Miami.
Do
we have our picks in?
I hate them.
Hate those dudes.
Do we have our picks in?
Agreed. I'm definitely cheering.
They have a nice arena, though.
But it's okay. No, it's nice. You're right. Yeah. It was.
But you know Miami is going to win that series because that's who we have to face next round. Actually, I'm changing my prediction, right? No. Actually, I have to stick with Charlotte because that means that they'll lose.
Yes. Because if we play Charlotte,
and then we'll face Miami, who we have a chance to beat.
Right. If we play Charlotte in the second round, we're going to lose. Yes.
Yes, because we cannot handle Charlotte.
That's right.
Because we do not match
up. Well with Charlotte.
If Rodney Stuckey gets asked that question, he'll be like, nope.
We do not match up well with this.
We've given up in the locker room, is what he'll say.
He'll say it where anybody can hear it.
Moving on. Next matchup. The number two Toronto Raptors are playing the Indiana Pacers from Indiana. I don't know. I think this one's probably Toronto sweep, right? We're all on the same page.
Seems mathematically possible.
They're very hungry after getting embarrassed so badly the last couple of years. Paul Pierce does not have a key to that city. Too bad he's out west now. I would love to see. Maybe we should have signed him.
Just for the upcoming playoff series against Toronto.
I'm going to go. Pacers in six. I think they're going to do it in Toronto. And then the team is going to fold or relocate.
Well, no, that would be in Indy, right? If it's in six, it's in Indy.
Oh no,
yeah, game six would be in Indy.
Oh, that's right.
Is that okay?
Oh, right. I've seen. You know, the thing is, I've been watching Toronto. I keep forgetting they're the higher seed.
Oh, wow! All right.
Wow.
So we'll do it at home.
You're walking on thin ice, my friend.
I guess this will come out on the game three, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm right there with you. I think the Pacers win this in six.
Woo!
I'll take five.
Whoa.
I'll take five.
All right. Wow. So I made these predictions before the series, and I'm just going to stick with those, except apparently the Portland in seven, which I just flip-flopped on. But I predicted.
So the rules apply mostly. Yeah.
So the rules apply mostly. But I picked Toronto in six, and I'm gonna
what?
And I'm gonna stick with that. Yeah. Uh-oh.
All right.
That's a dick move.
Can you explain that to me?
Again, I picked this before the game one. I just felt like they were going to be more driven in a crazy driven way to win this series. And I think we're a little bit – I'm not sure we're as cohesive as Toronto is. That's how I – that was what I came up with. I always thought –
Well, now you know that they are not cohesive at all.
Well, right. Well, now it's falling apart. And also we have the best player on the team, Paul George, the best player on the floor. I agree with that and all that's awesome. But I still feel like – I don't know. I think we have a better coach. I think we have the best player. And now that there's all the pressure on them, we can still win this. But I'm going to commit to what I did before game one. Toronto in six.
Didn't you major in history in college?
Yeah.
But you refused to learn from recent history.
I am
like we just won game one. You refuse to actually look at the history that exists.
Look, I am terrified that we're going to lose the next four games. I am, as a fan, I am petrified. All right, I loved game one. It was so much fun, but I'm afraid that we're going to get embarrassed for like four more games.
No, I get that. Like I said, I'm always the cautious guy with my predictions, so I get that.
All right.
You're real cautious with that Pacers in five.
I just say, like, when this comes...
Should be a sweep. I'm just saying, this team's broken.
When this comes out on Thursday, we'll have...
Just get arrested.
We won't yet have played game three, right? Is that correct?
Thursday night will be Monday, game three.
Thursday night Wednesday, is game three.
All right. So, best case scenario, we're up two, nothing. Most likely scenario, it's 1-1. And I will be curled in a ball in my bathroom, crying, probably, before this game.
While your girlfriend takes a shower in the fourth
quarter. In the fourth quarter. It's going to be...
Why do you watch Pacers basketball again? I don't understand what you get out of this.
It's like my favorite thing in the world. It's really my favorite thing in the world. But it's...
Yeah, I should see the things he doesn't like.
Sure.
All right, Toronto at six. I hate myself, but that's what I'm calling.
Final matchup. Number one seeded Cleveland Cavaliers versus the newly returning to the playoffs, Detroit Pistons. I don't think Detroit's going to win a game, but I think they're going to learn valuable lessons and they'll become stronger because of it. And will return next year stronger, faster. Better looking.
I like that prediction. I agree with you in the sense that Cleveland's way better. I'm going to give them one game. I think Stan Van's a better coach
than LeBron.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I think this will help Portland be better next year. But Cleveland's, yeah, not slowing Detroit. Down. I'm sorry. Yeah.
How is this going
to
help Portland?
No, Portland. No, they're committing as a team to watch this every game together.
No, I think this will help. This will help Detroit next year. This playoff experience is going to be great. But Cleveland's, yeah, not slowing down on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm giving this Cleveland a five.
Hmm. I feel like this Cleveland team is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. And I feel like Stan Van Gundy, this is another chess versus checkers situation we have going on between these coaches here. Now, I guess Cleveland has two coaches, so it's kind of like two guys playing checkers against a guy playing chess, but still. So, Cleveland won game one by five or so.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought Detroit was going to steal that game. Before it even started and as I was watching it, I really thought Detroit was going to steal that game. Which screws up my prediction. But I think they take two. I think Cavs in six. Maybe even Cavs in seven.
You know LeBron's not going to let that go seven, right?
Yeah, probably not. I'll do Cavs in six.
All right. I mean, this is a Detroit team that is going to show some of the holes in what Cleveland does. But LeBron is so much better than any other player on the court.
So much better.
He's not going to allow them to lose a game. All that Detroit can do is hope to make him a jump shooter. But at that point, he becomes a distributor, and they've got more, you know, they've just got more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a Cleveland sweep. I think LeBron knows the importance of rest, and he ended the season really strong. Like, I think he shot 60% over the past week and a half or something. This guy's tuned up. He's ready to go. He's not going to let his team lose a game here.
Hmm. Yeah, not that many teams have a dude to deal with LeBron, but Detroit might be the least well-equipped of any playoff team to deal with LeBron.
Well, I mean, I think Stanley Johnson's a great guy to deal with them. It's just he's way too young to do it.
Yeah, I think he's too small.
I watched a little bit of the game today. He did a good job.
Yeah, he did okay, but.
But I mean, LeBron's just.
I'd like to see him throw Marcus Morris on him a few times too.
Oh God! Do you know what? He's going to destroy his career. LeBron James will.
Maybe. But my thing is, you got to make LeBron an outside shooter.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
You have to guard him with size to.
Right.
To make his drives to the.
But Marcus Morris is going to be too fragile. I mean, LeBron will break him and really enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's the all our predictions at the end of this playoffs. We will revisit these and
or we'll just assume that I won and never listen to the tape.
Yeah. We could do that too.
So Joey, the only consensus we had in this entire thing was Golden State sweeping Houston. All Quaker styled that up, I guess. And then LA Clippers versus Portland. Both Harper and I had Portland. Jason and Joey had LA. Jason had Boston winning against Atlanta. Everybody else had Atlanta. Harper has Charlotte in seven, while everybody else has Miami in the Miami-Charlotte series. I picked Toronto against Indiana, like a little bitch. And then everybody everybody agreed that San Antonio would beat Memphis, Oklahoma would beat the Mavs, and Cleveland would beat Detroit. So, yeah, we'll see if that happens. You know, the games don't necessarily matter.
It's just the playoffs.
It's just the playoffs.
The games don't matter.
That's right.
The games don't matter. And the results are made up.
Is this their new tagline that I've not heard about yet?
Yeah.
Like, this is why we play is this year, and next year it's the game.
The games don't matter.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's probably right around time to get the hell out of here. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com, where you can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find our show. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party is over.
And this is the part where Coulson will be singing, but my Skype crashed, and he's going to have to figure it out.
I think right about now would be when Coulson's singing this.
That's right. That's right.
Sure.
Reconnecting to Skype.
For a once and always coach. Is it right about now?
Sure.
Or is it now?
3, 2, 1.
Doop a doop a doop. Doop a doop a doop.